Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, and we are at day three from the NAMM show here in Anaheim, California. And welcome to Facebook Live via our great friends at InterTalk Radio. And also, we'll be up on Talking at Music Education, the NAMM Foundation podcast. So, day three, NAMM show, Saturday, we've just completed the grand rally for music education, and we opened up that wonderful hour we had together with Jonathan Daly and his jazz ensemble. Welcome, Jonathan.
Thank you, Mary, for having me. Jazz, welcome to everybody in the room. Thank you very much.
Jazz trumpeter extraordinaire. First of all, tell us what we experienced this morning. Tell us about your band and what you played and opening up our grand rally.
First of all, thank you for the opportunity. 9 a.m., we got here bright and early and to open for Eric Whitaker, a fantastic composer, arranger, musician. We also got to play with Bernie Williams. The band is from New York, and we very excitedly flew here a couple of days ago. Thanks again. Infinite thanks.
Absolutely.
And the band comes from all over the world. Our guitar player is from Israel. Our bass player is from the Virgin Islands. Our drummer is from France. And I think it shows how New York is a network, the world comes together. Everybody's excellent at their craft. And that's one of the things I really hold dear about the band is, what an eclectic background of musicians we've had. And that's been great.
So five-piece band, six-piece band?
We are a five-piece band plus me.
All right, so you're the lead. You're the front man, the
allegedly.
Trumpeter.
Allegedly.
Right. Allegedly. We're going to give you that title, all right?
Thank you.
Front man for a quintet ensemble, right?
That's right. Yeah. And we have two keyboards. One keyboard is one piano and one keyboard. The piano is in the jazz tradition, and keyboard, it's great. Technology has allowed us to obtain so many different sounds through keyboards, whether it's Rhodes or strings. I love the notion of, in my head, pretending that we're on stage with six of us and there's a full orchestra behind us.
Yeah, there was a lot of synth sound going on this morning. We heard, tell us what you played this morning. You did From the Sound of Music, Raindrops on Roses.
We right? did.
Never quite heard that way before. It was gorgeous.
We did My Favorite Things.
My Favorite Things. That was the name of the tune, but I knew the lyrics.
The lyrics, yeah.
Right.
We did it kind of like in the vein of John Coltrane.
Yeah.
That featured everybody in the band. That featured our drummer, Raphael Peignet. And I'll never forget, probably as long as I live, when I asked the crowd, are you ready for a drum solo? And a wave of 600 screams came my way. I just looked back at Raphael. I was like, all right.
We're in the right place.
We're in the right place.
We've got the right audience here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it was Saturday morning.
if I neglected to mention, this was jazz at 9 a.m., folks.
Yes. Not always the time of day where we jump into jazz.
This
right?
is our first 9 a.m. show as a group.
Well, I'm glad it was at the NAMM show.
Yes.
The Grand Rally. So did you form this band? Did you kind of say, let's kind of see if we can take this on the road, right? And
so it was senior year of college. And I had just worked an internship on Wall Street, believe it or not. And that's what I thought I was going to do. And I had prepared myself as such.
So you weren't in music school?
I was not in music school.
Like business administration, finance major, that kind of stuff?
I went to a liberal arts school called Williams College in Massachusetts. Yeah. And I was an English major. Mm-hmm. The art of persuasion, I guess. Because everybody asks, how did you get a job on Wall Street if you were an English major? And I never know what to say. I worked hard at it and got lucky, of course. But going into my senior year of college, music education was a part of my life, but not necessarily on the radar going forward. I really thought I was going to be, a banker, a banker. And probably the vestiges of that are left over with what
I'm
wearing.
Well, this really looks good for a trumpeter fronting a band.
I appreciate it. I wore pinstripes because of Bernie.
You never knew that, that there was a lookalike, but until today, right? The banker and trumpeter fronting a jazz ensemble really work.
I think that's the vibe.
Yeah,
it's a crossover
I think
experience.
It really works. All right, so you went in, you did this internship on Wall Street, and
yes.
You kind of went time out.
I went time out. It was the longest period I had ever spent away from the trumpet. It was like a 9-week internship, and I was working from about 9 a.m. until 2 a.m.
Which is what they do to interns.
Yeah, right? So it was like, you know, it was over 100 hours a week, and something just clicked. You know, what I had thought this world would be fell short in a number of ways, and I missed music so intensely.
So even as an English major, you were playing at Williams.
I was.
You were in ensembles, and you were...
All that yeah. jazz, literally. And so senior year came around, and one of my professors at school said, why don't you just apply to grad school and see what happens? And I'm somebody who really likes to plan things out well in advance, and that spontaneity didn't necessarily sit well with my habits.
That wasn't the plan.
It was not the plan. And I went in for an audition at Manhattan School of Music in March of my senior year, and was admitted with a very grateful for the scholarship as well. And just like that, my you know, course turned.
So you got a master's in jazz studies? Is that
right.
At Manhattan School of Music?
That's right. That's where I met Bernie Williams.
Oh, yeah. And he was there after a 16-year career as a New York Yankee center fielder. And we had met him along the way. And I'll never forget the phone call he made to me one afternoon and said, you know, I'm thinking of applying to the Manhattan School of Music in jazz guitar. And
wow.
I said, what do you think? And I said, I think you got to do it.
Absolutely.
And now, you know, that was, you know, older than you. I mean, a different time in his life, but someone too that had a journey, a path, right? And then all of a sudden, and I remember him telling me, I just realized how important education is, you know, because he was a ball player early in his life. He did have some higher ed, but he didn't have a degree.
Yeah.
And he went and got his degree in jazz studies.
And he was very inspiring for many of us in
yeah.
the school.
Well, we were funny this morning. He was also one of the students that was followed around by New York sports press,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, the guy's a big deal.
Everywhere, but mostly in New York.
His jersey, number 51, when I was a kid, was the first baseball jersey I ever owned. Number 51, I'll never forget it. I played with his character in video games. And to just think...
What video games is he in?
You know, like... back when PlayStation 2
yeah.
and they would do like, you know, MLB 2K.
Oh, I love 4. That. I'll have to find this someday.
They might be out of print now.
But don't they have another version
yeah.
of it? I mean, now it's... Right.
You know, and
oh,
just to think that I would run into him in a professional musical capacity 10 years in advance.
And you played together this morning.
Played together this morning thanks to MSM. And it's mind-boggling, actually, that you know.
Yeah. Well, that's great. So you left Wall Street behind and never looked back.
Yes. If Bernie's
basically.
Thing is from center field to center stage, mine is from...
What's the cross street down there?
It was on Madison Avenue.
Okay.
So maybe from Wall Street to Main Street. I don't know.
Wall Street to Main Street.
Trademark.
Main stage. Wall Street
Trademark.
To Main Stage.
Wall Street to Main Stage.
I think that could work. We can work on that.
I think Bernie and I can tour with that.
Yeah, that'd be a start. Okay. Always on Talking at Music Education, we want to know the origin stories. You give us a little bit of a glimpse
sure.
of back within the last, 5 to 6, 7 years. But we like to go way back. You know, when did the trumpet like land in your life? Was it an elementary school band? Was it a, you know, middle school band or orchestra experience? What was that?
I was in public elementary school and third grade. They said, okay, it's time to rank your instruments from best, you know, favorite to least favorite. And I went drums, saxophone, trumpet.
Ah.
They filled all the drum spots. They filled all the saxophone spots. And I got left with this beast, which was and still is very difficult to play. Any trumpet player can attest. And I linked up with this fantastic teacher who happened to be the director of the band, Phil Gray. And he just happened to play trumpet.
This was in your hometown?
This is my hometown.
Where'd you grow up?
Long Island.
Long Island.
Cold Spring Harbor, New York.
Okay.
And he was really just a mentor for me. He was the one who got me involved in competitions. At the time, that meant classical. Fifth grade, he was like, oh, man, maybe you should check out jazz. And he's the first person that introduced me to jazz in
That's
fifth
good.
Grade, auditioning for the all-county bands. And then all-county became all-state and the national level. And then it just became a passion, jazz music. But even then, I never, ever suspected that it would become... I never thought that I would have the audacity to pursue a career in music because it's so challenging.
Right.
It's so challenging.
Well, that's great. You know, what we're working on collectively is that every child has that opportunity. It was there for you in third grade.
Yes, it was.
It shouldn't be like, oh, you have to live in this town or that town over doesn't have it and the next town. You know, I mean, that really is our shared effort.
Yes.
So when someone like you is on the path, you know, that's so wonderful. Always remembering that we want that for every kid.
The importance of education, not just in private communities, but in public communities, is essential.
Yeah.
And I'm not too updated on the particulars of how government funding makes it
down. We can help you with that. When you're ready to learn that, we can help you.
We'll talk.
Okay. But right now, just keep playing your horn. We need more of that music.
I'm ready to make my government transition.
No, but we, you know, that's really the work that we do through the NAM and NAM Foundation to go and move those needles forward. But we also need, you know, the voice of artists, you know, making more music. Well, that's wonderful. Do you keep in touch with your teachers? You go home and you play back in school every now and then?
Phil Gray, this is for you. This is his horn.
Oh, my goodness.
So the mentorship has
this
continued.
This is his horn?
This is his horn. He had heard that I was changing horns, and he said, I have one that I don't play. Why don't you try this? I tried it, fell in love with it. It's a Yamaha.
Did you play it this morning? Was that the instrument you played this morning?
Played it this morning. I'm going to play it at Lincoln Center. This is the
baby.
My
goodness. So the teacher started the student, and then the teacher shares the instrument with.
Now I got to buy him a car.
Something. Yeah. You know, it's got at least a convertible or something really jazzy.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. It is. We've been here a long time.
It's
several
funny.
Days anyway. Yeah. So what artists inspire you the most?
There are two trumpet artists that come to mind. When I was a kid, I would listen to Wynton Marsalis more than any other artist. I mean, his technical facility speaks for itself, but he's also brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant as an intellectual man, musically of course, but also entrepreneurially. He dreamed up and executed jazz at Lincoln Center.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
Absolutely phenomenal. As I figured out where I want to go artistically, I started listening more and more to Chris Bode. Combines familiarity of music with intense artistry. What an incredible musician he is. I mean, so technically sound. And I've seen so many of his shows. He's actually performing tonight at the Wiltern Theater. I'm going to try to go. And I've seen his show, and the way he mixes artistry and accessibility is really such a fine balance. And so I always listen to Wynton, and I think he'll always be the muse, but I've really taken a liking to Chris and his concept for a live show.
And they're very, very different, right?
They
represent real studied artistry, right? Intentional studied artistry.
Exactly, intentional artistry.
Yeah, it's just great. I met Wynton Marsalis's father several years ago.
Ellis. Wow.
And actually, he gave a master class to some kids in New Orleans. And you know, Wynton always talks about how his dad was tough. And his father said, yeah, Wynton practiced. He was the kid who practiced.
Yeah.
Branford didn't practice so much.
Yeah.
Right? But you hear that in his playing. You hear someone who just did the woodshed. I mean, he must have how many thousands of hours of overtones, right? Has he been buzzed? I mean, he just was relentless. And you hear it in one note.
And he's also, he won a classical and jazz Grammy in the same year.
Yeah.
I think 1983, which is, I mean, you know, he's brilliant.
So you've got a great hero, but I also would say hearing you really for the first time, you're right there. Just, I mean, that's just me saying it. You know, I'm not but, you know, you hear the study, you hear the intentionality, you hear the drive to something really, really big and perfect. So
I appreciate that so much.
Keep going.
I have such a long way to go to even come close to those guys.
So, you know, the life of a jazz musician, I mean, you know, you're a young jazz musician in New York, you got your own group, you're playing a jazz at Lincoln Center, you play first time at the NAMM show, not last time at the NAMM show, or blah, blah, blah. What's the best week ever for a jazz musician? A young jazz musician, not afraid to dress up and, you know, be out there in the world. What's the best week ever?
The best week ever is realizing that you get to make music with your friends.
And all week long, wherever you can, right?
All week long.
Yeah.
I mean, the artistry of the folks in my band is fantastic, and they make the show, you know, much more than I make the show. And being able to laugh before stage, you know, tell jokes about when we're about to go on, you know, like, oh, don't trip. It's just, it's a camaraderie, and it's a shared purpose. It's collaborative, and it's fun. It's really fun. And I think that's what hit me when I was working. I was like, man, this is not fun. Like, I loved studying English in college. I loved reading, you know, cultural theory and writing essays. I'm a nerd. You know, secrets out. I love that.
And nerd is in.
Nerd
is in. That's right. Let's be really clear.
That's right. And when I was working, I just wasn't having fun. And I think that was the thing that clicked. It's like, I really want to try something career-wise that makes me happy, that's fun. And playing with the guys is so fun.
And you know what? You get to have fun in life. And why shouldn't you pursue the thing with the most passion? We talked
Absolutely.
About this morning at the Grand Rally.
Yes.
You know, with Eric Whitaker and his remarkable compositions. And
Eric is fantastic.
You know, what we were able to do together in the room, 600 people singing, and it was really pretty great. So your best week ever is making music, whatever is on the schedule that week.
Yes.
Sounds great to me. So how can we stay connected to your work, your career, and where do we follow you, and what's, you know, give us all the brass tacks.
You got it. I have a website, jonathandeley.com. DELY is how you spell my last name. I'm pretty active on Instagram these days.
Just we all have to be, or we don't exist.
Got to play the game.
Right.
So Jonathan_Daley on Instagram, and then Facebook and other mediums as well. But I think Instagram is probably the
And way. Your schedule? They can find your schedule on your Facebook page?
Schedule's on Instagram and website and all that stuff. I try to keep it pretty updated.
And yeah, tunes? Download tunes? Download.
Yep. Oh, YouTube, forgot to mention.
Yeah. Albums? Album yet?
So I'm recording my first live album in
cool.
2 weeks at Bruno Walter.
Really?
Absolutely. Got to sign that release. They said it was okay.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's a Valentine's Day concert?
That's a Valentine's Day concert. First
now
album.
I think I'm going to have to be there.
Please come.
If it's Valentine's Day and you're recording live for an album?
Yes.
Yeah, I think my date list is not long for that night, so I'll come and be with you.
Thank you.
That'd be great.
Thank you.
I shouldn't really admit that, but, you know, that's okay. It's all right where we are.
It's out there now.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. So we're going to end with something, right?
Yes.
We're going to, are we all set up for it? We're going to have a little live from Talking at Music Education concert?
Absolutely.
Who's here in the room with us?
This is my good friend and amazing musician, Andrew David Friedman, playing
Korg
Kronos, it looks like.
Yeah.
Andrew played with us this morning for the Grand Rally. He was playing all those synth pads.
Okay.
Really adds a lot of texture to the sound. So I think what we're going to do is play the song that we performed with Bernie Williams. This is entitled Hallelujah. Is that okay?
In tribute to Leonard Cohen. Thank you. Thank you. And all of us in the room, hopefully all of you that heard us via Facebook Live and our talk at Music Education, hallelujah. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Thank you. Something to be so grateful for. Jonathan Daly here with us at Talking Music Education, live from the NAMM Show. Thank you so much for joining us for Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. NAMM. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.